but you'll be getting some sweet.
Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2015. It's 6:30 p.m. We're at the Palm Coast Community Center for the regularly scheduled meeting of the Mayor and City Council. Would you please rise and join me in a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Mayor Nitz.
Here.
Vice Mayor McGuire.
Here.
Councilmember DiLorenzo.
Here.
Mayor, Councilmember Mobile, and Councilmember Shipley are excused.
Thank you very much. First item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes of the City Council meeting of May 19th and the City Council workshop of May 26th. Are there any additions, corrections, or is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Agenda item number two, a proclamation recognizing June 30th, 2015 as Social Media Day. Accepting the proclamation, we have Cindy Dalecki, Kai, I can never pronounce your last name, McKinji, and his wife, and Monica Lau. If you guys would come up, please. Mr.
How come you never get a proclamation?
Whereas social media is all about connections and people, and whereas social media has completely altered the nature of interactions on all levels, and whereas we are living in a highly wired world, and the importance of social media networks is immense, and whereas Social Media Day celebrates the technological advancements that enable us to connect with real-time information, share ideas, and speak and have our voices heard all over the world, and whereas partnering with locally owned businesses, Social Media Day will include global real-time conversations, networking, and connections. And whereas the goal is to bring together businesses, innovators, influencers, and the community for an opportunity to connect their online networks offline in a face-to-face setting, bringing the community closer together. And whereas Mashable is a leading source for news, information, and resources for the connected generation, presented the opportunity for Social Media Day worldwide, and whereas Office Divi has played an integral role in acknowledging the importance of social media by taking the lead in hosting discussions and business events in Palm Coast and Flagler County, now therefore be it proclaimed by the City of Palm Coast Mayor and City Council that June 30th, 2015 will be Social Media Day, signed the second day of June 2015, City of Palm Coast, Florida, John Nitz, Mayor. Cindy Dalecki. And all.
At all.
At all.
Thank you. That was beautifully written and read. So just thank you so much. And I think we want to say that it's our opportunity to put that red dot on the map for Social Media Day, for Flagler County, for Palm Coast. And it is, today is the proclamation. We joined dozens of cities proclaiming Social Media Day, right where we want to be, further putting our place on the map, and just the extension of what that is. Want Cindy to say some words, but want you to know that today is the proclamation, but the party is 6:30 at 6:30. So easy to remember. So June 30th, 6:30 p.m., be there or be square. That's co-worked by Office TV. All right, Miss Cindy.
Thank you, Lisa. Yes, and thank you, council members. Social media is, thank you, I'm shorter, is an amazing opportunity to amplify the message and the amazing things we have going on in our community as far as the beaches, the parks, the community events, the communities themselves. It's just amplifying the message of everybody that is involved and lives here and loves it here. I would encourage you to use hashtags, which are the pound sign for anybody over 30-ish. messages you're putting out there on social media, so hashtag Palm Coast, hashtag Flagler County, hashtag Live at the Beach, that kind of thing, and that will fill the world wide, our little town here. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Hashtag SMJ. All right, good one. All right, beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah, Let's do it. Do you mind if we do some selfies in the spirit of what they are? All right. We have to do it.
No selfie stick? Come on.
Mayor, get up and photobomb that.
Has that made it to Webster's yet?
Problem. This year.
Yeah, probably so.
Poor Bill.
That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Some people enjoy.
Cindy was kind enough to explain what hashtag meant. That's important for those of us that grew up using carbon paper.
Next week we're going to have a mosh pit.
Agenda item number 3, presentation, update, and overview of revenue sources. This is part of our annual budget process. Mr. Landon.
Yes, this one was something City Council specifically asked for a few years ago when our auditor made a comment in our annual audit that we do not use all of the revenue sources available to local governments in Florida, and they suggested you may want to consider diversifying your revenue sources. They did not suggest to increase the revenue, but to diversify. So Chris has always put this little program together that we let you know what your options are, and it is part of the budget process, so it is for your information today as something to consider as you consider the budget in the future months. So Chris, if you'll take it from here.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Good evening. Just a quick look at our budget preparation timeline again. We're really at the end of May, past May at this point, going into June. July is where we have all the really heavy lifting budget workshops with City Council, July and August. September is where we have our public hearings to actually adopt the budget. So the overview of this presentation is our overview, overlooking our revenue classifications, looking at our total city revenues, our current tax revenues, really non-property tax revenues, our revenue diversification discussions, and then following up with the rest of the budget calendar. So these broad classifications you see up on the screen, taxes, permits, fees, intergovernmental revenue, these are the things that you would see in our budget book, on our financial statements, and we're going to look at them a little closer to see just exactly what makes up each one of these line items. This again is a graph of the total city revenues. Again, we've discussed this many occasions about a lot of people are surprised to find out that charges for services or direct fees for services are by far our largest single revenue source. So taxes, when we talk about taxes in general, of course everybody knows about property taxes, but there are a number of other taxes the city participates in. There's a county local option fuel tax, currently at 7 cents per gallon. A local government discretionary sales surtax that we call the small county surtax, which is a portion of your county-wide sales tax, and we'll discuss each one of these a little further. Communication sales tax, 5.22% communication service tax on satellite TV and telephone services. We have a local business tax, and when we talk about revenue diversifications, one of the items on there is the public service tax, otherwise known as utility tax. We don't currently have that in Palm Coast, but we'll discuss that also a little further later. Permits, fees, and special assessments, things like franchise fees. We currently have a solid waste and natural gas franchise fee. We do not make use of a utility or electric franchise fee or water franchise fee. Also special assessments, such as we have a couple each year, the Old Kings Road special assessment and the code nuisance special assessment. Intergovernmental revenues, kind of a large name term, but basically is primarily grants and revenues that we receive through other governmental organizations, things like the state revenue sharing, a portion of the sales tax, a portion of county business tax receipts, alcoholic beverage licensing tax, and the insurance premium tax that goes to the Volunteer Firefighter Pension Fund. Charges for services are anything that we charge a direct fee for to the customers, to the citizens. Things like your water and sewer utility fees, your solid waste pickup fee, stormwater fee, business fire inspections, building permit and inspection fees, recreation fees, rentals, golf course, tennis center. There are various fees related to planning and development, and as well as impact fees on new development. Judgments, fines, and forfeitures. This is actually a small category for us, but we get a portion of traffic citations given out by the Sheriff's Office within Palm Coast. Red light camera violations were part of this line item, and also some local ordinance violations. Again, these are primarily small dollar items for Palm Coast. Some other revenue sources, we have interfund transfers, things like payment in lieu of taxes or pilot transfers. You hear that term periodically. The tax increment transfer to the CRA. Debt proceeds, and if the city is ever in a position to borrow money, the actual proceeds from the borrowing is actually considered a revenue source from a budgetary standpoint. And we have a number of other miscellaneous revenues. So our strategic action plan, one of our objectives, diversify revenue sources 3.1, evaluate and target diversification of funding sources, came from auditor suggestions and also some of the goals set by City Council. So before we get into other potential revenue sources, I just again wanted to go a little farther into some other non-property tax revenues. The small county surtax, we talk a lot about this. For the benefit of the public, it's a portion of the 7% sales tax, a half a percent of the 7% sales tax that we all pay within Flagler County. A portion of that comes back to the city. What we call the countywide local option fuel tax, it's 7 cents in Flagler County. 5 cents is still available to be levied, but is not. That's a cents per gallon, so it really doesn't matter what the price of gas is. It's always 7 cents per gallon. State revenue sharing is a portion of state revenues. They kind of pool a number of different revenues and distribute it out to local governments. We break it down into an A and B portion because of the uses of those revenues. The half-cent sales tax program, which we'll talk a little bit more about, and again, the communication services tax. So I mentioned the small county surtax, a half a percent of the 7% sales tax within the county. It's controlled by Flagler County. There's a related Flagler County ordinance that determines how those funds can be utilized. We're currently utilizing them for our capital projects funds. And some of the projects where we're using this tax right now, recently the Long Creek Nature Preserve, currently the Holland Park improvements and renovations, and in the future, the community center renovations for this building. This graph kind of shows you a history of the local infrastructure and small county surtax collections. They went down a pretty good chunk when we converted from the local government infrastructure tax to the small county surtax, and that has a lot to do with the distribution formula. We're starting to level off a little bit on that now and starting to see some growth. Again, the local option countywide fuel tax. Flagler County controls this tax. It's an interlocal agreement between the cities and the county based on road miles. It does have to be used for transportation expenditures. We allocate this funding source to our streets improvement fund, and we do things like our bridge rehab program, our parkway beautification, our street resurfacing funds come from this particular tax. And this is kind of the last several years' tax receipts. This is one of the areas where fuel tax collections have been dropping as fuel vehicles become more fuel efficient. Tax revenues have been going down actually countrywide. State revenue sharing, again, the state puts some different sources of money into this revenue sharing pot that gets distributed back to local governments. It's controlled by the state of Florida, the amount that we get, and the state sets up a formula in order to distribute it. The A portion, what we call the A portion, can be used for any municipal-wide programs and particularly for property tax relief. And the B portion needs to be used for transportation expenditures. We currently use it in the general fund to help mitigate the need for property taxes and then the streets improvement fund for our various transportation projects. And this funding source has actually been growing, so as the state does better, this pool does better. What we call the half-cent sales tax program, that's a portion of the state's portion of our sales tax. The 6% portion of our sales tax gets distributed out to municipalities and other governments, and it's used for basically property tax relief. It's a way to help local governments not have to charge as much for property taxes. This is in our general fund, and we do use it to help mitigate expenses that would normally be covered by property taxes. And you can see by this graph, our sales tax are actually growing. This kind of follows along with all of our economic indicators of growing taxable sales within the county, and specifically the city. Again, our communication services tax, it's kind of like a sales tax, or similar to a sales tax on telecommunication services. You would see this on your phone bill, your cell phone bill, your cable TV bill, satellite TV bill. Again, it's controlled by the state of Florida and the city council. Both have inputs on this. The distribution formula, it's based on the actual service address of the person receiving the billing. There's really no restrictions on this. It can be used for any public purpose. And again, it's currently used in the general fund to help mitigate property taxes. This is another one of our funding sources that's actually been decreasing. It's been decreasing primarily due to bundling of services. As more and more services, communication services are bundled, the costs are lower to the consumers, and then the resulting revenues to the cities and local governments are lower. So this is a look at just our general fund budget. For the benefit of the audience, our general fund budget is basically where most of our taxes go for everyday operating expenses of the city. About a little over 50% of our budget is just from property taxes alone. This is where the revenue diversification discussions come in with our auditors. Some of the options that we have that we can consider are franchise fees, special assessments, and the public service tax, also known as the utility tax. Franchise fees, again, as I mentioned earlier, we have a natural gas and solid waste franchise fee that we currently charge. What's available that we don't currently charge a franchise fee on is electricity and water services. As an example, any kind of franchise fee that we would charge FPL in turn would turn around and be charged to the FPL customers within that franchise area, and potentially would generate something under $4 million annually. One of the interesting things about the franchise fee is that currently the residents carry about 83% of the property tax burden within the city. If we were to convert some of that to a franchise fee, commercial properties would actually pay a little bit more than they do now in terms of the total pot. Special assessments, one of the ones that you hear a lot about these days is a fire assessment. What that's done is to use to offset some of the costs of the fire department related to specifically to fire protection. Any fees would have to be determined by a rate study and discussion by city council. Assessments must be shown to benefit the specific properties within the city. And again, any assessment amounts would have to be determined by council. It would actually appear as a separate line, assessment line on individual tax bills. The public service, otherwise known as utility tax, would cover all types of public services such as electric, natural gas, propane, and water. It would be on the actual usage portion of those bills. The state allows up to 10% tax. City council would actually set the rate. One of the benefits of this particular tax is the use is determined by city council. There's really no restrictions on it. And again, if we were to start charging a tax like this, the tax itself would wind up being reflected on the utility bills of the end users or the residents if we were to do that. Based on our latest FPL estimates, a 10% public service tax would generate about $4 million a year in revenues. One of the interesting things about the public service tax, just to kind of point out how Palm Coast is different, about 81% of Florida municipalities have some form of the public service tax. Of the neighboring cities, Ormond Beach, Daytona Beach, DeLand, St. Augustine, Flagler Beach, Bunnell, all have at least the electric tax at the maximum of 10%. Many of them also have the water tax at 10%. Palm Coast does not currently levy this tax. So again, in summary, some of the discussions and thoughts related to revenue diversification is it potentially gives the city council a higher level of control over our sources of revenue. It decreases the reliance on property taxes. There is a 10 mil state cap in Florida. Potentially can be more equitable distribution of the tax burden, lean it a little bit more towards commercial versus residential, and can provide a higher level of equity for the services versus the services paid for in many cases. So what's next? Our next council workshop, we're actually going to have a pretty interesting long-term financial planning presentation, followed by our property tax primer, where we'll get in depth into the property tax system and the rules and regulations. July, the City Council will start out with deliberations on the initial general fund budget and adopt what we call the proposed maximum millage rate. That's the rate that goes out on the trim notices to residents at the beginning of August, and we'll continue our budget work through August to the September public hearings. That's all I have.
Only a CPA would say we're going to have an interesting discussion of finances.
I think it's interesting. That's probably true.
I have a question.
Council questions. Yeah. Mr. DeLorenzo.
Chris, a citizen asked me if the utility franchise fee or utility tax could be levied on commercial properties only.
I have never heard that before. I've only seen it like where it's countywide. I have to do some more research on that. I'm not sure if we could do that or not.
My guess is Mr. Reichman's going to tell us something about the definition of a fee and a definition of a tax, and they have to be all users have to be under the same rules or something like that.
A city can only impose taxes as those taxes are authorized by the state of Florida. That's in the Florida Constitution. A fee is different than a tax because a fee is associated with some specific benefit that a user of that service receives. And there's different types of fees that have been officially authorized pursuant to common law. And so the typical type of fee is a user fee. Someone comes in and receives a service. I guess the most common one that we think of would be parks and recreation, and that's a user fee. And that's different than a tax because of there's no specific benefit. For when you pay your ad valorem taxes, you don't get a specific benefit for that. That goes into the general fund, and that funds general services that all citizens of Palm Coast enjoy.
Chris, the utility taxes and the fees that we do not charge, does the county have the authority to tax any of those?
I guess if the county actually ran our utility, potentially they could. But within Palm Coast, I think we're the only ones that really can initiate those for our utilities within the city.
Okay. Thank you.
I just want to kind of summarize why we're having this discussion. As Chris mentioned, this was proposed to us as something that we ought to consider by the auditors. And there are two main reasons, and Chris touched on both of them, as to why this would be beneficial. If you think back to the recession that we went through, your property taxes plummeted. If 54% of your operating budget, your general fund budget, is based on property taxes, as property values go down, the amount of taxable revenue goes down, and you have to raise your tax rates, which is never very popular. So you have a volatile source of revenue. By diversifying, by getting your dollars from a variety of sources, you are less subject to that volatility. The other primary advantage is, and Chris mentioned this, is the diversification. Right now, under our current taxing structure, the residents are paying, 84%, whereas if you had a utility, an electric franchise fee, that shift would be more paid by commercial and less paid by residential. That generally is a benefit in a community like ours where there's lots of people. That's the plus side. The downside for any elected body like City Council, nobody, myself included, likes the idea of new taxes. So if we were to institute a electric franchise fee or something along that line, before I would feel comfortable doing it, you would have to be able to show an equal decrease in property taxes. Because if you simply add a new tax, you're adding new source of revenue. The idea, in my mind, is to stay revenue neutral. But it's something that, the auditors have strongly suggested City Council consider. We are considering it, but I don't know where it's going to go, if anywhere. Probably won't go anywhere this year, because I think it's too late to institute it for this year's budget cycle. But just that's what that's all about.
You know, Your Honor, it would be interesting to hear from the economic development folks as to the fact that Palm Coast does not levy this franchise fee or charge commercial more electricity than homeowners, if that's seen as a plus with businesses that are considering relocating or building in Flagler County.
Interesting point, because as Chris pointed out, we are one of very few cities in this area that do not have this tax. So if we were to institute, let's say, the electric franchise fee, would that put us at an economic disadvantage compared to Flagler Beach or Ormond Beach or Daytona or St. Augustine? Well, not really, because they've already got that. So a business looking, comparing Palm Coast with St. Augustine, had that fee been in place, it would have been a wash. Now, is the fact that we don't have the fee, is that an incentive to come here rather than Daytona, Ormond Beach, St. Augustine? That's a question we'd have to ask our economic development people.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we need to consider. Any other questions?
No.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 4, resolution approving a contract with P&S Paving in the amount of $1,200,000 for the 2015 street resurfacing project. Mr. Landon.
Mayor, City Council, this is our annual resurfacing program. This year in our budget, we have $1,200,000 budgeted. And for that, we took a little different approach this year because of the concern about Oak Kings Road, basically from Oak Trail, I believe is the name of the street, south to Town Center Boulevard. It's structurally sound, but it's very ripply and it's very bumpy. And we hear about the complaints. So we threw that in the mix, and for $1.2 million, we can stay within budget. And we rank all the streets each year and take the ones that we consider to be the worst based on their condition. And this year, for $1.2 million, we are talking about 36 streets, not about, it would be 36 streets, a little under 2 miles, lane miles of resurfacing. If we were to put in Oak Kings Road, Nestor's put those up on the screen, it's virtually impossible to read, but they're in your packet. If we were to add Oak Kings Road, we'd have to eliminate 11 of those streets to stay within budget. As you can see, there are proposals all over town. You indicated during workshop when you discussed this that you were very interested in considering Oak Kings Road. So we put together what we consider to be kind of a little plan that we think would work best considering another project we have taking place in Oak Kings Road, and that is a main sewer force main that we've already issued the contract, and that construction should start soon. But let me back up. One of the other things that's nice about that section of Oak Kings Road is that FP&L has hardened what they call their hardening of their line, which means it's supposed to withstand a storm a lot better. When they did that, they put in new poles, and they moved the poles back so that when Oak Kings Road is widened, their poles would not be in the way. So that's already gotten started. Then this year we have plans for the sewer force main, and that's supposed to take about 9 months. 9 months would put us in the next fiscal year. So our proposal to you and recommendation is go ahead and improve all 36 of the streets in this fiscal year without Oak Kings Road, but don't wait until this time next year. Go ahead and next fiscal year include Oak Kings Road, pay that as quickly as possible, and then whatever money we have left over from the budget, resurface the rest of the local streets, so that it's a more logical construction schedule, because you really don't want to resurface and then do utility work. We get criticized when you start to that sequence. It's better to do the underground work and then resurface it. The utility work is not expected to destroy the street, but there's always some damage that would be helpful if we resurface it afterwards. So we're suggesting that sequence of events and can plan for that if you approve this. So in summary, we're recommending stay within budget of the 36 streets that our evaluation says are the worst conditions, and then move forward with resurfacing that bad section of Old Kings Road as quickly as possible after the utility work is finished, but will be in next fiscal year and would be in next year's budget.
Mr. Landon, how in the last two or three years, how have we performed to budget with what we've budgeted for street improvement? How have we done? Have we underspent, overspent?
But the beds are by linear feet.
Right.
And so we add all the streets in.
I understand.
And we give them more than what we think the bids will be able to stay within budget. And then we draw the line so that we're always right at budget. Is how the system works. So you establish the dollar amount, and then we do as many streets as we can within that dollar amount.
Okay, so what I'm taking from you then is that we have our budget has been matched to our plan. We have neither overspent nor underspent.
Yes, correct.
All right.
Very close to it. I will say that during the Now, first of all, we had 10 years, we did 50 miles a year, so we right. had a very aggressive program. Then as our revenue decreased during the hard times, we reduced the budget down to about, I think it's $1 million a year, and this year we bumped it up to $1.2 million. So we think we're still staying on top of it, don't have a lot of bad streets out there. But if you don't stay on top of it, they can deteriorate fairly quickly, particularly when you're built in the swampy area.
I guess where I'm going, Mr. Landon, is if we approve this plan, then we would not consider Old Kings Road until this time next year.
I would suggest that it would be after the fiscal year, so it would be in next fiscal year, but we could do it sooner than this time next year. That we actually could just do, Old Kings Road is a large enough project that you can do it just by itself without all these other small streets. You wouldn't want to do one small street at a time, but Old Kings Road would be a large enough stretch that it would be cost efficient.
Well, I, for one, would like to see that accelerated in a manner in which you've just described.
Yeah, it makes good sense. Even though the sewer main runs parallel to Old Kings Road, you're going to have excavators, you're going to have bulldozers, you're going to have dump trucks, you're going to have all kinds of heavy equipment. Doesn't make a lot of sense to put down brand new paving and then drive that stuff over it. Drive that stuff over it, do whatever damage, and then next year. And to your point, the fiscal year begins October 1st, so
right.
Once next year's budget is adopted, which is what we're working on now, you could start that repaving in October, November.
If you give us that direction, and then whatever we have left over after Old Kings Road, then we would still go out to bid for the list of smaller streets, but it would be, instead of 36, it looked like it'd be probably more like in the 25 street range.
Well, what's the likelihood that PNS Paving would get this list done by October?
Extremely. They have to. They will do it.
So
they've been consistently good. Both of our paving contractors have been consistently good in terms of getting it done in a specified period of time. It's to their advantage because
Absolutely.
The longer they have their equipment lying around Palm mm-hmm. Coast, the less they're able to do somewhere else.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think of how the fiscal timetable would work, that they get this done, then would we come back with an amendment to the budget to...
This is this year's budget and 14-15 budget.
Yeah, I understand.
You're talking 15-16 budget.
So let's suppose that in the next fiscal year we appropriate another $1.2 million. You would take...
$200,000.
whatever Old Kings Road is, you take that and spend it immediately, say October, November, and then the balance of the money is still there. You could do the next 25 streets on the
list. That's my concern. I like Mr. Landon's suggestion. I just want to make sure that we can move into Old Kings Road as quickly as possible, recognizing that it transcends one budget to another.
If you give us direction tonight to plan for that, sure, that would be very easy. And what we would do is separate it out as a separate project and do it sooner and not do it during the summer of 16, but do it as quickly as the sewer line project would allow us to do it. But after October 1, therefore, it would be the money would be available.
We're reasonably confident that the sewer line project will be done by next October.
October?
Of the next budget year.
Of next budget year, so like a year and a half from now?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 9 months.
In other words, you don't want to be promising folks we're going to repave Old Kings Road in October, and they're still digging up the sewer lines.
There's a couple of gentlemen back there that have assured me that it will be done in approximately 9 months, and if we're 18 months into it, they won't be assuring me much of anything after that project.
Okay.
I have the old veiled threat for
Nestor. Mr. DiLorenzo, question.
Nestor, we have a rating system for all these roads, so what is the best rating that we're repaving? Okay, not the worst rating, but what's the best rating that we're repaving? Are they all C's and D's, or I think it's a four-letter system, right? Or is it numerical?
Threes.
Threes?
Threes, yeah.
So, and our rating system goes to four or five?
Four.
Okay, so threes and fours are what we're going to repave.
Right.
Okay, and what is the rating of Old Kings?
Consistent with threes.
It's a three as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
The problem with Old Kings Road is not that the base is deteriorating. Right. You've got that ripple on the surface that if your tires aren't well balanced, you feel it.
If you compare
that, for those of you that lived in Palm Coast back when we incorporated as a city, the joke in the southern end of the city especially was to talk about grassfalt. The roads were so badly deteriorated, the water was getting through the pavement, through the asphalt, and eroding away the subbase. And I remember Jim Holland, who was on the first city council, said, they may not be the best roads in the world, but they're the only roads we got. And if you don't maintain them, you're going to be not repaving them, you're going to be replacing them. So for the first 10 years that we were a city, we were very, very aggressive in getting those roads back into a decent shape. So.
Mayor, if I could... clear direction, I think. We recommend approving this. Long term, if we could kind of look into the future, one of the interesting challenges for Old Kings Road, this section of it, which is where the four lanes dead end, or not dead end, but turn into two lanes all the way up to Palm Coast Parkway, that's for the public knowledge, that is in an assessment district. The property owners in that area have agreed to tax themselves above and beyond what other people pay to have those dollars earmarked for the widening of Old Kings Road. A lot of the vacant property owned by developers, and they know that they're going to need that additional infrastructure for their development. So the issue has always been, if we see the buildings going up, the revenue being generated, we resurface the street and then immediately tear it up and do it four lanes, that wouldn't make sense. But what the game plan is that the bridge over the canal, right there where shortly after it turns into two lanes, that will be the first thing that is in the plans for widening the rest of the street. That itself is going to take a couple of years after the money's available, and the money's not available. So long term, the game plan would be to turn that bridge into four lanes and then proceed on up north. And the reason I say that is that to me tells me that we're 5-6 years out before we'll ever see Old Kings Road six lanes, because it hasn't been completely designed, permitted, and those type of things. So I don't think it would be a waste of money to resurface it, is my point.
No, if there's one road that council hears complaints about, it's Old Kings Road. So yeah, we're going to defer it another year, but it makes good sense not to repave it and then tear it up with the construction. So any other council questions? Open the meeting to the public. Anyone in the public wish to be heard on agenda item number 4? If so, come up to the podium, give us your name, and limit your contribution to 3 minutes.
Jack Carroll, Palm Coast. How would this fuel adjustment affect our road, whatever is going on there? Is that going to decrease the amount of roadway, or how do you determine, you know, a maximum? It could be a 1% or it could be 5%. Who determines that that amount?
We'll get an answer for your question.
I know you.
Next speaker. Next speaker. Seeing no one approach the podium, we'll close the public portion. We can go back to council. But first, explain the fuel adjustment that's part of this contract.
Nestor, you want to take a I'll take a shot at it.
If you would.
You know, when we go out to bid, we establish the fuel price at that time, realizing that oil prices affect your asphalt because it's oil-based. What we find is in this business, if we don't allow for some adjustments as a result of the volatility in oil prices, we'll get very high bids to make sure that it's covered. So we get a better bid, base bid, if they know they've got some leeway in there if the prices go up. And in the contract, in the specs, it sets a base, and then if the price of petroleum goes up so many dollars per gallon or per barrel or whatever that calculation is, then they are able to recover that cost. So our $1.2 million includes up to 5% of that anticipation that it may happen. If it doesn't, we're good. If it doesn't,
then we'll spend less than $1.2 million,
yes,
potentially.
Yes. So long term, we save money by doing it this way versus having the higher base bids.
And the important thing is that 5% is not at the paving contractor's discretion. It's based on the published fuel prices.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Back to City Council. Additional questions, comments, or a motion on agenda item number 4?
Move approval of agenda item number 4, a resolution approving the contract with P&S Paving Incorporated in the amount of $1.2 million, including a possible maximum 5% fuel adjustment for the 2015 street resurfacing project, with the list that does not include Old Kings Road, but with the direction that we would like to see that come back as soon as possible in the new fiscal year.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Agenda item number 5, reaffirm the reappointment of Robert Schrader to the Volunteer Firefighters Pension Fund. Mr. Landon, want to comment on that one?
Yes, there's by state law, when you have a pension board, volunteer pension board like we do, the volunteers vote on 2 members. City Council appoints 2 members, and the 5th member of the 5-member board is then voted on and recommended, if you will, by those 4 members. But by law, City Council has to confirm that 5th member's appointment. So they provide you with just 1 name because it's not your choice. It's their choice, but you have to confirm that choice. They are asking you to reappoint Robert Schroeder. He's been on the pension board. This will be an additional term. There are no term limits on this board by law also. And that is what you're being asked to do, is confirm that suggestion by the other 4 members of the pension board.
Council, what's your pleasure?
Does Mr. Schrader okay with this?
Yes, he's.
I hate to appoint somebody that don't want to do it. I move that we reaffirm the reappointment of Robert Schrader, or Schroeder, whichever his name is, to the Volunteer Firefighters Pension Fund Board.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries without objection. Agenda item number 6, presentation of certificates to graduating students at the City of Palm Coast Citizens Academy class. Mr. Landon, you want to kick this off?
Well, obviously one of our favorite times, and hopefully everybody enjoyed it. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to Cindy, and she'll take it from here.
Good evening. So nice to be with you here tonight to discuss this great occasion of graduation that we all enjoy so much. I was wondering if the mayor would come and assist me.
Cindy, what graduating class is this?
This is the 34th graduating class.
34th graduating class.
As we always do, the graduates go through 5 weeks of learning about the city, all aspects of every department. I believe they've met all of you, Mr. Mayor and council members, and had a chance to hear from our department heads, visit Water Treatment Plant 3, Fire Station 25, city offices, and the community center. So we're ready to start.
Let's
go. So graduates, what's going to happen is I'll call your name, you'll come, you'll get your certificate from the mayor, and then if you'll line up in this area, we're going to do a group photo. Okay.
And then we can put it on social media.
That's right. Okay, our first graduate tonight is Gary Browse. Cynthia King Browse. Karen DeSalvo. Curtis Ellis. Susan Gothier. Scott Gothier. Vivian Holt. Michelle Jane. I'll go ahead and give her husband's certificate, Vijay Jain, to her. He couldn't be here with us this evening. Albert Leonardi. Rosemarie Leonardi. Vincent Lyon. Sally Madrigal. Mark Positano. Ellen Pugner. We had our first brother and sister combo. So Ellen's the sister, and their other sister went through the last session. So. Ivan Reyes. Joseph Shinnick. This is the brother half of the brother-sister pair. And Michelle Turner. And we actually had a couple of other participants that need to do a few makeups, and then they'll graduate with the next group. So what I need you all to do is to put yourselves in a few rows with the tall people, and I would like the council members to come up.
The taller folks in the back.
Everybody's just a hair taller.
As long as I can see her, I can see the camera, we're good.
Okay, everybody make sure that I can see your face. Beautiful group.
Okay, one, two, three. I'm going to shoot a few. Keep smiling. One, two, three. Congratulations.
I must say I was a little disappointed. Here's graduation, but I didn't get invited to your prom.
You couldn't answer anyway.
You got me there, Jack. But, Jack, you've noticed for the first time in a long time my shoes actually match, at least in color. This brings us to the consent agenda. This is items 7 through 12. Typically, the council votes on these as a group. However, if any council member wishes to remove something from the agenda, we vote on that separately. I'd like to offer the participants here an opportunity to, if they wish, to comment on any of the items 7 through 12. Otherwise, we're going to act on them in a group.
Ten.
Would anyone like to?
10.
Number 10. Okay. We're going to remove number 10. Anyone else wish to have anything removed from the agenda? Okay. Council, is there a motion to approve items 7 through 9 and 11 and 12?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries that objection. Agenda item number 10, a resolution approving work orders to Crowder Gulf and DRC Emergency Services to perform debris removal services for a time period of June 15, 2015 through November 2015. Basically, this is hurricane cleanup. Any comments, Mr. Landon?
It's our contracts with these companies are about ready to expire. We have a couple of them already that expire, I believe, in June. And as you indicated, Mayor, this is strictly on an as-needed basis so that if we have a storm and we need to bring in additional help, these people either regionally or nationally know how to deal with FEMA and all those other federal requirements so we can get reimbursed. So it's one of those things you hope you never use, but if you need to, you don't have a contract, they're going to go to places where they already have a contract. So this makes sure that we are on their list of a place that they will respond to.
And if we don't have a contract and had to go out and find someone, they could make the price whatever they wanted.
Exactly. And very likely would have trouble with getting FEMA reimbursement because of all their requirements.
So this is a contingency plan that says if you need debris removed, these are the people we're going to use. And if you don't, they won't get any money.
Well stated.
Anyone from the public wish to speak on this agenda item, number 10? I guess our explanation was satisfactory.
It is.
Is there a motion on agenda item number 10?
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries that objection. This brings us to the public participation portion of the meeting. This is the opportunity for the public to speak on any item not on today's agenda. Anything at all that comes to your mind you'd like to share with City Council, please come up to the podium, give us your name, limit your contribution to 3 minutes.
Jack Collin, Pope Coast. I just want to ask, now we're coming into the hurricane season, is our City Hall going to be a spot where we can go to get out of the weather? Is it being built to withstand a hurricane? You know,
is it shelter?
Are they going to have those areas that you know people can go there, or is it just going to be go as you can and find a spot? Is it?
I understand the question. Next speaker. Next speaker. Well, Mr. Ferguson, former city council member.
Yes.
Welcome back.
David Ferguson,
private citizen, Palm Coast. Mr. Mayor, council members, council, city, Mr. City Manager, Ms. Assistant,
City Clerk.
Anyway, it's funny how my heart's beating more now than when I was sitting up there. But anyway, I have two things to talk about. I have 3 minutes, so it's unfortunate that you're not at full staff tonight, because part of what I wanted to talk about was this initiative to appoint a commission for revising the city charter. And after reading about this, in fact, it was the mayor's contribution to Palm Coast Observer just before the meeting, I said I have to come up here and say, you know, I think the council member who's promoting that wants more civic involvement, and I applaud him for that, because I think Palm Coast, with the exception of the people that attend the Citizens Academy, are by and large disengaged from the political process. And I think for some people to get more engaged, the city would benefit. So on that basis, I think gaining more civic involvement would be a plus. But on the other hand, I think the people who the council member is trying to attract to revisit the city charter may have a different agenda than what the citizens of Palm Coast really want and what Palm Coast really needs. So that's what I'd like to add at this point. The second point is the FiberNet update, because if I see a resource that may not be being fully developed to its maximum potential for economic development, I think FiberNet could be better exploited. So I'd like an update on that particular project.
We'll get you an answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. I knew we could get you, Lewis.
I wish to compliment Cindy on putting this article in the paper about going on the internet and looking at our city hall as it's being built. I go on the internet on a regular basis, and I go just to see the windows going in, they're facing off the face, they're doing this, they're doing that, and everything. And our citizens who have or who can get on the internet should get on the internet and watch their city hall being built. It is tremendous. And it is, just to put it in the paper to remind people, hey, look at this while it's being built. It's tremendous. And I wish to thank her, for the article. I like the article.
Thank you, sir. Next speaker. So you don't approach the podium. We'll close the public portion. We can get back to council. Mr. Landon, the status of City Hall in terms of hurricane sheltering.
It will. It's obviously being built to withstand the hurricane. A shelter is something that has to be coordinated countywide through county emergency management. It will maybe be an additional opportunity, but I can't report now as to whether or not they will actually use it.
That's a Kevin Guthrie question.
Right. And, they have schools now that they use, and they have to coordinate with, obviously, the medical community, et cetera. It's a possibility, but until it's actually available, they won't consider it this year and maybe in the future. But I'm not about to announce that it's going to be a shelter without being coordinated through the right.
But what I'll be happy to do, Mr. Landon, next time I'm out at the BOCC, I'll track down Kevin Guthrie and ask him if that's being contemplated, and I'll report back.
Okay.
The second question had to do with our FiberNet as a potential for economic development. How about an update on FiberNet? Probably a little history and where we're at and where we're going. All that in 25 words or less.
Do I only have 3 minutes? Or Steve Escardi with the IT department. FiberNet started back in, 2007, when we first started pulling fiber into the ground, and we're using it primarily to connect all the city buildings. We have 22 of them, and I think 21 of them are now on the fiber. Shortly after that, 2010, we decided, open up to local businesses, other entities, you know, other than the city itself. We currently connect all the schools, and then we have about 50 other private industries that connect through the fiber system. The way the system is set up, we are kind of an open access provider. So any ISP that wanted to use us for what we would call last mile, you know, just that connectivity stage, we don't bring individuals and businesses directly to the internet. We bring them to service providers who then get them to the internet. So our network is open to any service provider that wants to use us. Currently we have one Palm Coast internet. We are bringing on a second one, hopefully next 2 weeks or so. They should be live. It's Joytel out of Jacksonville. We've had another couple other exciting things that happened recently with FiberNet. We've got a connection to a long-haul fiber provider out by the railroad tracks, excuse me, that runs up to, you know, from Jacksonville all the way down to Miami. Now, what that does, again, it connects us to anybody who wants to come into Palm Coast through their fiber, can then use us, again, as kind of a last mile into the city. But again, through that connection, we are bringing on another ISP, Joytel, out of Jacksonville. But also we had a industry QCS, which does all the telecommunications for the Watchtower Group. They're connecting their training facility here, like I said, all the way from Palm Coast down to Jacksonville, or down to Miami. So we were pretty excited about that. We actually used FiberNet to lease them some dark fiber so that they could make that connection. So with, again, with that connection, with FiberNet, we have about 50 miles throughout the city. Like I said, we're starting to see some more activity. It's been a little slow in the last couple years, but I think with these connections, you know, into the long-haul fiber, bringing on another ISP, I think we're going to start seeing some things pick up as far as, you know, people using it. Again, economic development opportunities.
Great. Thank you.
I have a question. Question, maybe. The new long haul, okay, in regular people's terms, okay, if I have a location in somewhere along the Florida Railroad, mm-hmm. From here, from Jacksonville to Miami, if I have a business location there, and then I'm thinking about having a business location in Palm Coast, I can directly connect closed network through that system?
Right. That would be on our side. Well, let me take it on both sides. The company that we've used is by the name of Allied Fiber. So on their side, what their model is that they lease dark fiber, right?
Dark fiber means that
it's just glass. It's no electronics on either end. It's just the actual fiber itself. And then a company would put their own electronics on either end. So with our connection to them, to your point, if somebody was coming from anywhere along their track, along the railroad track, whatever, they could come up through their leased fiber with Allied, and then on a case-by-case basis, we evaluate whether we can lease dark fiber as well. I mean, we pulled extra pairs in to meet Allied, so we only had to do it once, but technically, yes. I mean, they could get a leased fiber agreement from Allied, a leased fiber agreement from us, and it would give them end-to-end private network.
So from an economic development point of view, since we have the fiber in the ground already, and now that the long-haul connections are possible, we are poised for satellite offices of larger companies where maybe other communities aren't poised for that because they don't have the infrastructure right. Already in the ground.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
And even with the additional ISP coming from Jacksonville, what their business model is they provide transport. So now, say you were a business in Jacksonville,
then you wanted to come down to Palm Coast, you would contract with Joytel, say, hey, can I have 1 gig of data transport, you know, capabilities, and that would bring you all the way into Palm Coast, into Arcolo, and then out to wherever your business was. So both ways, we can serve them.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah, what started out as a significant advantage just to the city has expanded into an economic development advantage, and the fact that we've connected all the schools.
Yep.
We lease fiber to them, but at a rate that's very attractive. Our schools benefit, we benefit, the community benefits. That's it's a good thing.
Save hundreds of thousands of dollars of tax dollars every year because of that.
Well, I only understood about 23% about what you said.
It was very impressive. That's why we have people like Steve Viscardi to
deal with.
They know what they're talking about. Discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Mr. Vice Mayor, why don't we start with you?
I certainly can, Ollie. Let me just speak off the cuff here. In the last 3 or 4 days, I've been in contact with some of our city employees, and I've observed some behavior that bothered me greatly. I've discussed it with the city manager. I've discussed it with the city attorney, and I've also discussed it with the police commander. A lot of our employees that deal with the public directly are being abused. They're not being treated well at all. They're subject to verbal abuse, profanity. I don't want to get into a lot of detail, but I guess what I'm saying is that this, especially in a month where we're supposed to be celebrating civility, I was taken aback, and the more I got into it, the more I found that this is a day-to-day thing. You know, when you're notifying bodyguards and deputies, you know, 5 to 10 times a month to come and intercede because you've got somebody who's not only abusing an employee, but their manner disrupts the entire workplace. So what I'm asking at this time is I'd like to see Mr. Landon put a team together of the aforementioned people, and let's look at what we can do to make the workplace better for our employees. Because, you know, as a longtime manager, we have an obligation to our employees to provide them not only with a safe workplace and a workplace where they can take some satisfaction from their job, but we also have an obligation to protect them from the hostility of people that are seeking to vent their spleen on our employees. So I'd like to explore what can we do to if not eradicate, at least make the situation more bearable, because I'll tell you what, I've observed things that if somebody said or spoke to my wife or my daughter the way I've seen some of our employees treated, I'd probably be in jail. So that's my contribution for the night. I do have one other small thing. I understand that Mr. Dunn, our tourist development guru that interfaces with us in the county and the Chamber of Commerce, is going to speak to us. But I've got a packet that shows what the performance is of the Tourist Development Council in terms of how much money and revenue that the TDC, through their actions, brings into the Flagler County, and we measure it on a monthly basis. But I can tell you that it's a huge amount of revenue, and with all the recent conversation about economic development and jobs, we need to keep in mind that tourism is a very, very big part of our economic profile here in the city of Palm Coast. So it continues to grow. We continue to attract outside interest in coming to Palm Coast, utilizing our facilities for sports and for entertainment. And, of course, that brings in a lot of revenue to our restaurants, to our motels and to our merchants in general. So I've got some data here. I'm sure that if Matt Dunn is going to come and speak to us and make a presentation, I don't want to steal his thunder, but just let me say that we continue to grow our tourism in the city of Palm Coast at a, in my opinion, a very impressive rate. And that's all I've got to say tonight, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. Mr. DiLorenzo.
If we have a charter review and eventually we come to be changed to a commission or something, I suggest that Mr. McGuire be in charge of IT.
Okay, you can be in charge of Parks and Recreation.
That's your hockey player.
The only sport we don't have is the only thing you're interested in.
That's it. Speaking of, you may have been reading that we have a Palm Coast resident, a young resident that's playing in the French Open Juniors, and apparently won the second match today and is moving along through. So that's a local player that played on our local clay courts and is excelling on the French clay courts. So that's exciting. So keep up with that. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Oh, boy.
Nothing further to report tonight, Your Honor.
Discussion by city manager of matters
Chicken.
Not on the agenda.
Yes, I actually have a couple of what I call very exciting news. But before I get into that, I wanted to address Mr. McGuire's comments. First of all, Councilman McGuire, I can say for the rest of employees, thank you for your concern. Because I don't think sometimes people realize the type of abuse that this society seems to think it's okay, at least a portion of it, to abuse a very large employment base, and that is government employees. We actually have some steps that we take because it happens way too often. But I like your idea of formalizing that, and particularly with the new city hall. We have some cameras in strategic locations. It's nice to be close to the precinct, those type of things that we utilize. But with the new city hall, I think is where it would make a lot of sense to take a look at our operations and making sure that it's addressed there. But it's not just at City Hall. It's utility. It's out on the street, where you have construction crews and maintenance people, et cetera, and sometimes the abuse they take. So we have. I really like the idea of formalizing that and having plans for that. Thank you for the comment.
Mr. Landon, just to tag on to what you're saying, we as a city spend a goodly sum of money to improve the know-how and the flexibility and the value of all of our employees, one of which is, of course, called Achieving Success Through Exceptional Service, which people take. And as I review this training material, I find that how to deal with obstreperous citizens is given very short shrift in there, for what it's worth.
Okay, thank you. Couple of exciting news. One of them, very proud city manager this week, actually end of last week, when went to the annual Florida City County Management Association. And our HR department, particularly Wendy Collin, our HR manager, was invited to present our health insurance program that we have here that is quite unique, that includes a variety of innovative approaches to contain our health insurance costs. And we got everybody's attention because we've been doing it about 5 years, and our costs are actually lower today than they were in 2010. And total costs, very, very flat, very, very similar. If you look at it per employee, we've gone up over those 5 years about 4%. You find another organization our size that can make those kind of statements. Very, very unusual. But it's because of our innovative program where we make our employees more consumers, where we actually have flat cost instead of a lot of percentages, which is typical. And actually have gotten a lot of accolades from colleagues, people at the league, about the presentation. So we were spotlight was put on us, and I think we shined very nicely last week at a statewide conference. The other exciting news, you know, this is like anything an accountant tells you exciting, but in our business, this is exciting. A little organization called ISO, which in our business, everybody knows what ISO. In fact, they don't even spell out their name anymore. But it is a nationwide organization that sets ratings on, for us in the public sector, three areas. One of them is our building department and what we do to make sure that structures are built safely, both for storms, public safety, fire, etc. Another one is flood. Your flood insurance is greatly impacted by the rating we are given, and that one we have recently made great improvements and have a very strong rating. And the other one is fire protection. And fire protection, we were evaluated just recently, and yesterday received our report and our rating, and I'm very proud to report that we went from a 4 to a 2. And lower is better, and a 2 puts us in a very elite group. 600-700 communities in Florida, 16 of them have a rating of 1, and 55 have a rating of 2, and we're now one of those. So very, very proud. It is a combination of not just fire. I don't want to just say it's fire because it's also utility. They go out and actually test the water flow in our fire hydrants and make sure they're operating. Not just one here, one there, but they test in commercial areas, residential areas. They look at our whole fire operation, equipment, training, a variety of things, and they score it. The last thing that we have really changed and implemented that I think was a major contribution to this is our strategic action plan that now has performance measures. And if you may recall, we put together teams. And in this case, Deputy Chief Forte in our fire department is the one that was a team leader for our performance measures. And he actually really was sold on the fact that what you measure needs to be relevant. And so the fire department's performance measures were geared towards the same type of measurements that the ISO evaluators take a look at. So we actually have our training that says if they want 14 hours of this type of training or 40 hours of that type of training, that was our performance measure. Make sure we have the hours and the type of training that this national organization sets the standards. And as a result of that, we went down two levels, and the fire department's budget did not go up during this time to make that happen. So sometimes you throw money at it, it can improve it. That wasn't the case for us. We improved our operation. We improved how we measure. And we also made sure that utility, I don't want to minimize their efforts, that the quality of utility department. So I can't help but brag about it because this is huge. When you have a national organization that puts us in this kind of category and this kind of improvement, and then statewide when we have some innovative programs that were recognized statewide. So exciting week for a city manager, to say the least.
You forgot the most important part, though.
Yes.
Which is, what does it matter for them?
Ah, sorry.
Here, that's it exactly, Jason.
What's it mean? Is it your insurance company's? Yeah, it's the way I describe it, the most people understand it, is that your credit rating doesn't necessarily mean that it controls exactly what kind of interest rates you're going to get when you get a loan, but it sure has an impact on it. Well, the ISO rating is the same thing with your insurance. Each insurance company sets their own rates, but they look at the community rating that you live in, and that comes into factor as to how they set your rates. So thank you. I should have definitely brought that up. But what this means for the community is that lower rating, lower insurance premium cost. It is not a one-for-one. You can't measure it. but it is definitely a factor, and a lot of other factors go into that rating. But by going from a 4 to a 2, our businesses, our residents will all benefit with the checkbook with their insurance rating. And that's one of the reasons why it's exciting. We did not see the increase as a result of throwing additional tax dollars at it. So your tax dollars stayed level in the fire department, but yet your insurance payments at home go down. So very exciting. Did I cover it all this time? That's all. I had a little rumor going around that need to say happy birthday, Mayor Nets. So happy birthday.
Birthday.
Me and Jack Benny, 39 again. Mr. Vice Mayor?
Move to adjourn.
We stand adjourned. Thank you very much.